welcome to Wine with Meg and Mel. We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist, joined by Master of Wine, Meg Brotman, and we are back for our normal run-of-the-mill episodes for the year. Yes, yes. And what are we doing, Meg?
We're doing inland regions of Australia, just as a, if you've listened to last week's episode, you'll hear that they're in a bit of a state, you know, disastrous state. So I thought we'd just have a look at a little bit of the wines, and see what they tasted like.
Awesome. So before we get into it, if anyone new is joining us this year, the bit of the format that we run is Meg is a master of wine. It's a very impressive thing. There's only a few hundred of them in the world, something like a 5% pass rate. And so I always ask Meg what she's been drinking because it's just really interesting to be like, what does a master of wine drink in their spare time? So Meg, what have you been drinking?
So I had the Tempest 2 Ansonica. So you may remember we did the Lowy wines last year and there was Ansonica, which I think became one of your
top wines,
right?
Yes.
So I drank that. Really lovely, refreshing. Probably didn't have the length and linearity, quite mineral, lemon pithy. If I was going to relate it to a Great Friday, maybe anise would be where I'd sit. But beautiful, beautiful wine.
And a lot of people haven't tried anise either.
Oh, okay.
Like what? Like so, a Pinot Gris?
Ooh,
with
less
more
floral
texture
than a Pinot Gris. More textured, more minerals, saline, but it has a, there is a floralness, but it's more on the honeysuckle rather than big blossom kind of. More subdued, but just a lovely fine line of acidity. And a I know Temps do buy grapes from all over, and I'm wondering if this Ansonica is from Orange, which is where the Lowy wines were from. If not, maybe it's been grown in one of these warmer regions, so it could be one of those interesting grape varieties that could work in the warmer regions for the resurrection of the inland areas.
It's pretty cool that Tempest 2 is doing this. I'm just having
a look. They're doing some really cool stuff. This is they're owned by Australian Vintage, big company. Remember we had the Grüne Veltlinger a few years ago? It just blew our mind. It was like $12.
$13. Yeah, it was nothing.
So just loving what they're doing. And,
yeah, me too.
You know, if be honest, it seems like a bit of a daggy brand, but it's the coolest daggy brand ever, I think. I often will look and buy their wines now when I'm shopping.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's some odd random stuff.
Yeah. Like they sent us stuff and I probably never really would have thought of them. But now I'm like, they do really cool stuff. And
they do.
At pretty good prices.
Yeah,
like
good
it's
prices.
Really worth trying.
I don't know what this is because I couldn't find the form because they often just send us stuff. But I'm imagining it's probably
30. I just looked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that expensive. Good, really good wine. We had it with, I'd bought Pete and Hibachi Grill.
Yeah.
So we did like really oily salmon with miso with the skin really crispy, and it was just with lots of sort of seafood on the hibachi. It was yum.
Is it as good doing it at home? The hibachi.
You have to buy the special coal, which I did.
Oh god, that's a lot of effort.
But Pete's a man of fire. He loves anything.
Fire.
He loves anything to do with coals. Even if he's just doing a steak, he'll light the coals for a steak. Because my barbecue doesn't get hot enough, apparently. Anyway, the problem is that it's quite small and you can't really do enough. You sort of have to sit around and do it. It's an interactive dinner.
Yes,
Because,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah, which is fun. But because it is so bleeding hot,
yes,
someone has to be standing over doing it rather than it all sitting on the table. It does come with a thing that you can put on the table. But it's a good fun thing. And you can do it indoors because it doesn't really smoke.
Yeah, so it might be better in winter when you can actually sit around it. And
we've only used it twice since I bought it for him.
Well, yeah, it does. It sounds like a novel. It's like a novelty. It sounds like a lot of work.
It is a bit of work. You got to skewer all the meat. Anyway, but it was worth it. And Ansonica was fabulous with it. And it's $30, so it's a good price.
Awesome. Well, the other thing that we always cover in these episodes is a fun fact. What have you got?
It's a bit late, but this was Halloween last year. You know, 19 Crimes, the wines.
Yes.
So this last Halloween, they actually buried a wine in a coffin in a cemetery next to Victorian graves in England, like these really old Victorian graves,
oh, excuse me.
They got a lot of stick for it. People were not happy.
No.
It kind of backfired on them. So
a lot of people would see that as disrespectful.
I agree.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do it, well, actually, why would you do it?
Yeah.
You know, 19 Crimes is all about the story and everything, but I just, I thought it was a bit off,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
So, and the wine's not, you know, super duper.
It's, yeah.
A big gimmicky for such a big company.
But they're so gimmicky.
They
19
are.
Crimes is
That's the whole
it's
point.
It's built on gimmicky.
Yeah, exactly. True.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my little fun fact.
All right. Well, we are getting into the wines this week. We are exploring Riverland, which is kind of, I think a lot of people just think of like Goon when they think of that area.
And they do. Berry Renmano casks.
Yeah.
So when I was Googling this, so I'd put in Renmano or Riverland or Swan Hill or Griffith. Nothing is. It seems to be actually under.
Is Griffith actually
Griffith,
like a region?
GI, I don't know.
Is it?
Some
I
of the
it was just a town.
Some of the Murrumbidgee, I guess. But some of the
right.
the wineries, you know, you know, they would be making other wines, but
yeah.
their own brands on their websites were
yeah.
very different to what you cannot buy them except there, which is
yeah.
another reason, like I said last week, to go and visit these regions.
Yeah.
But I've got a couple from the Riverland. I wanted one specifically from Swan Hill because it's the Innocent Bystander Moscato, which we'll taste first. Innocent Bystander is a Yarra Valley brand.
Yeah.
Started out by Giant Steps, their second brand, Moscato, and the Moscato is actually from Swan Hill. They don't champion that.
I bet they don't.
Yeah. And Moscato, because Moscato loves a warm climate, doesn't you want
to get
it
right. Especially because it used to be from
But
Yarra Valley, didn't
Brown
it?
Brothers own it now and they
yeah.
bought it so they could buy a Yarra Valley brand. They didn't
yeah.
want to reinvent the wheel, so they bought Innocent Bystander as a Yarra Valley brand.
It's just – it's always interesting though that when like companies take something and change it but people don't notice. Like it would have been Yarra Valley fruit originally, so they've changed it.
I don't reckon it was because I
don't
think
you?
We have any Moscato in the Yarra Valley.
Oh.
I think it was always warm – inland regions fruit.
Oh, that's interesting.
So this is Swan Hill. So
yep.
up on the Victorian border on the Murray River.
Mm-hmm.
So around Swan Hill there was Caradoc, which was South Treasury Wine Estate's largest winery.
Yeah.
Largest winery, I think, in the Southern Hemisphere. Closed.
Really?
They shut it 3 months ago. Sacked everyone.
Oh.
It was a massive winery. I don't know how many people do no longer have jobs. No one in the wine industry is going to absorb them up there.
No.
It's just bloody heartbreaking. Every time I turn around, the story's all really sad. So I'll lighten up. Moscato, as you all know, I love. Oh, my God, that's so cute.
That was a really cute noise.
She loves Moscato, yes.
I know. I think that was a whinge, Meg. That was
no,
she's
that
whinging
was
about
whinge.
Moscato.
That
she
was
likes
yes.
Chardonnay.
Courtney said to me the other day, I'm always going to call her Shardy.
It's a cute nickname.
Anyway, back
okay,
to the Moscato.
Moscato.
So this comes in a little Coke bottle.
Looks like a cider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was $21 for four of them. It's 7% alcohol. It's pink. It's fresh. It's refreshing. It's delicious. I bloody love it.
Yeah, right. It's yum. Yeah, okay, fine. It's yum.
It is yum,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's just yum.
The bubbles, right.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Some of the Moscatos, they're too fizzy. I just love that little fizz, like
yep.
like you're having whiz fizz in your mouth or a fruit tingle.
Mm.
And it is a bit like a fruit tingle, tastes like one. So this is grapes grown in the warmer regions, inland regions of Victoria.
So it is still helping.
Yes.
Because it's using their grapes. It's
yes.
getting grapes out and of the oversupply.
I would say most of the Moscato in Australia is from that
yeah.
area because it probably would have
yeah.
gone into cask wine back in the day to give a little, like Fruity Lexia.
Yeah.
What was that made from?
Yeah.
Probably Moscato.
Yeah.
So buy it, drink it, enjoy it. And I think we talked about Brown Brothers flavoured Moscato last week, probably
yeah.
from the same area.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
okay, fine. That's nice. I don't know how much I could drink, but that is, like, a sip is very pleasant.
So now we have Cupio.
Cupio, all right.
Pink Pinot Grigio 2022 in a very fancy bottle. Very heavy. Who is Cupio?
I have no idea.
They are part of the Accolade group.
Right. Oh, thank you.
So Accolade owned, was the old Hardy's group. Accolade was then bought by a large company in America called the Carlyle Group, who have subsequently sold it.
Yeah, okay.
As a result, we're seeing a sell-off of, well, Arras, House of Arras was part of them.
Yes, yeah. The Tasmanian one, Sparkling.
Yep, which was bought by Handpicked. Another wine, Benrock Station, which is another one we're going to taste today. That's up for sale. I don't know if anyone's actually bought it. I think it's 245 hectares.
Yeah, okay.
Of vineyard.
Yeah.
I don't think the brand is. I think they're just selling the vineyard and the facility.
Right.
So Cupio, this is Pinot Grigio. So it's from, according to Dan Murphy's data, Renmark. So that's in the Riverland.
Yeah.
Or from the Riverland. So the fruit will be obviously from around there. But again, in the label, it says absolutely nothing in terms of wine of origin, which is completely legal. At least it has to say wine of Australia.
It just omits it.
It has nothing.
Ooh.
Wow. Drink wise, standard drink 7.4. This pink South Australian wine showcases fragrances of blah, 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 blah. This was 14 from memory.
Yeah, so that's about right. So Cupio, this is interesting. They really lead with their rosé. It sounds like Accolade started it in 2018 just on the back of that big rosé push when everyone wanted it.
So it's just as pink.
Yeah, so it started off as a rosé but now it's expanded and there's a pink – oh, my God, there's a pink Chardonnay. So they do a Pinot Noir dry rosé, a pink Chardonnay, a pink Moscato, a pink Pinot Grigio and a sparkling rosé. Ha.
Well, I think that's lovely.
It's very cute.
Beautiful acidity.
Yeah.
Colour's gorgeous. Much more in the Grigio style, so less texture. It's more of that fine line straight down your palate, like a straight line. Lovely lemony citrus fruits, a little bit of apple. It's very much a drink, don't think style of wine.
Absolutely. And they're definitely targeting it to young women who are like, it says on their website, love this journey for us. And there's like pictures of Mean Girls and stuff on the Instagram. So it's definitely targeted at like women in their 20s who just want pink, yummy things. And I think the wine really delivers.
And they delivered. The packaging's lovely. How they, my only comment, Cupio / Accolade, is back off on the weight. That bottle is way too heavy for a $14 bottle of wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But lovely fresh fruit.
Yeah.
You know, this is the thing about these regions. They know how to make wine. They know how to grow grapes.
Mm-hmm.
They just have been selling to a cheaper volume market.
Yeah.
So it's time to start repositioning themselves and the grapes that they grow, which is going to take money and time. Pinot Grigio, pink Pinot Grigio could be the way to go. That's not good. It's all part of the mix. We can't have one solution because it's never going to work.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I nice. Liked it. Yep. Yep. Me too.
So would now drink we have again. Grant Berge. So this is from South Australian fruit. Again, when I looked it up, it said it was from Riverland.
Oh.
So
it's not a Riverland one.
From the Riverland. What?
So
it says South Australia on the label, but when I looked it up on the Dan Murphy's website, it said Riverland. So it is Riverland.
Oh, you mean the Riverland part in South Australia?
Yes.
Right, because there's
For those of you that don't know, okay, so we have the what we call the inland warmer regions.
Yes.
I'll start towards the east coast. We have Griffith. It's called the Murrumbidgee Irrigation Area. So it's a massive area where they grow wheat and all kinds of crops because there's lots of irrigation because there's lots of water around there. So we call it the MIA, Missing in Action, Murrumbidgee Irrigation Area. Griffith is part of that. Big wineries.
And that's like New South Wales.
New South Wales. Yes. That's where Casella is from. So Yellowtail.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the name. Then we move across to Victoria and we have the Victorian border towns and river towns of Mildura and Swan Hill.
Yep.
Again, flat, water, lovely rich red soils, volume.
Yeah.
Then we cross the border
where
the Murray River sort of does a little bit of an up and then a down, and that is known as the Riverland. That is the fruit bowl, literally, oranges, apples, whatever, of Australia. You've got Renmark.
Yeah.
Within the Riverland. So that's the sort of South Australian area.
Yeah.
That sort of stops about an hour and a half north of Clare, and then you sort of hit the Clare, then you move down to the Barossa.
Yeah.
And then you move down.
Okay.
So it's in the north. For South Australia, it's not the northern, it's sort of the middle part of the state, but it's at the tail end of the river. And all of these regions have grown on the back of the water.
Yes.
So when they're talking about the water buyback schemes.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about. In fact, some people's vineyards, the only value they have is the fact that they own water rights. The water rights are worth more than their vineyard.
Oh, God.
It's freaking heartbreaking, man.
Yeah,
anyway, Grutbush, classic collection, very simple bottle. Oh, sorry, Mel.
Leaving
welcome
me out.
To Meg's podcast. I like
Thank
these
you.
Glasses. What are they?
They're Riesling glasses from Riedel.
My Riesling glasses. I love those.
I love
it's my
fave glasses.
Glass at the moment, but I'm down to one.
Oh, yeah, mine keep breaking too, and Tom says I'm allowed to buy more because we're going to have a toddler soon. He's going to smash things.
Arms rings, keep them up high.
Thank you. Tell Tom that. Get on my side.
Actually, you are both tall, so you could have a tall toddler.
Yeah. Oh, she's really tall already.
So.
Yes.
Anyway. So, classic collection, Mel's glass problem. It really, wait. Because then they break them when they put them in the dishwasher and stuff.
Yeah.
And shits.
I know.
Grutbush, classic collection, Shiraz, 14%, lightweight bottle, which is good to see.
It smells sweet. Like not sugar sweet, but like fruit sweet.
Super fruity.
Like, yeah, super fruity.
It's
and
got
oaky.
Black currant, yeah. It's got all the winemaking in it. Because these regions are about volume, the grape vines are having to ripen a lot so they don't get as much concentration of flavour.
Mm.
So you do get that lovely jammy cooked fruit, black currant, plum, a bit of strawberry, macerated strawberry in there. But then you layer in oak flavours with probably oak chips. We know that people who are buying at this price want bang for buck for flavour.
I mean, yeah, and what I've looked it up, the price is $8.
Yeah. $7.99, mate.
I want to say support Riverland, like these. I want to say support these regions, but I can't in good conscience tell people to go buy that.
The best way
like
to support.
Our listeners just aren't into that.
No, the best ways to support these people are to go into the regions and actually discover some of these small mom and pop wineries.
And they actually have good, they have really good ones when
they
you
do.
Go there. They just don't sell
this
the dance.
This is another
so,
accolade wine. This is churned out in high volume.
Yes.
But it's the aim of this is to talk about the fruit of the grower. It's the growers that I care about, not the companies that make the wine. That is.
Yes.
My dad would have loved that wine.
Yeah, for sure.
Not the most exciting entrance back to the tasting, Mel. Would you like me to do that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, this is me.
Her face is looking a wee bit disappointed, I have to say.
She's come back from pregnancy ready to do a tasting episode again, tasting $8 Shiraz from the Riverland.
Well, how much is our Crimson Cabernet?
A Crimson Cabernet is also $8. Bant Rock Station, Katie, one of my friends, in like high school, I was drinking Passion Pop, like when we were like 17. Passion Pop was my go-to, and her go-to was Bant Rock Station Moscato.
So Crimson Cabernet 2021.
Nice colour.
Well, this is probably Ruby Cabernet. So we have a grape variety in Australia called Ruby Cabernet, which isn't as thick skinned as Cabernet, doesn't have as much tannin, often goes into fortified wines or cask wine because it's lively and fresh and lively. And, and this is about the same price. This is Benrock Station again. This is owned by Accolade.
Okay, it actually smells yummy. It smells like cranberries.
I love the colour.
I love the colour too. It's like really light red. It looks like it could be a Gamay or something. What? No, not Meg looks like she's gonna vomit.
It's sweet.
Oh, okay.
I hate that.
Oh, no, it's Brant Rock Station. I think you, yeah, no.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, no, we should have been expecting. I'm glad I know. We should have been expecting it with Brant Rock Station.
Okay, so it's, what is the alcohol? It's obviously low alcohol. It's 9.5% alcohol.
I'm really glad I had warning for that.
Okay, so this is a 9.5%. This is obviously playing into the, so I'm going to rejudge it because it's obviously playing into that mid-strength thing with that residual sugar. It is just like cordial.
It tastes like a lolly. It tastes like a red snake has been made into a drink.
Yeah, but add a little bit of plum juice as well.
Yeah. Yeah, plum juice. It is like drinking plum juice.
That's a bit disappointing. I should have done my research because I didn't notice that on the website.
Yeah.
But I wanted to sort of champion something that was a grape variety that is planted up there in high volume. It doesn't say what grape variety is, but I'm assuming based on the colour. And Crimson Cabernet, Ruby Cabernet. Yeah, it's kind of giving you a few hints there.
The hints were there.
So, well, that's it. So not a very exciting start to your...
No. We'll next week. We'll do something fun next week. But, no, it's really good that we raise awareness about what's going on. And, look, people should just be aware of what's going on. Any pressure that we can get, any awareness we can get will help apply pressure to the government to help look at this region and see what we can do.
Yeah. And... you know, you're not going to be able to really help them by going into a local retailer because you just don't know where the wine's from. It's impossible to find out. And who can be bothered doing it? So you're better off, like I said, visiting, buying online, direct from the wineries up there.
Or go. I just think that's a great idea. Go for a holiday up there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Be awesome. And their autumns are amazing.
Yeah.
Warm days, cold nights. Go to what's his name? Stefano... De Piri's restaurant in Mundura.
Oh, yeah.
Save up for that one.
Oh, yeah.
But it's fantastic.
Oh, I love it.
Eat, you know, classic fish and chip shop food and wrapped up in the paper in your car. Do a real Aussie holiday.
Awesome. Well, before we head off, I do have a question for you this week. This is from Anya and Joe, one of them. So this is nice. Hope everything's going well with Baba. Thank you. So they were listening to an interview with Jeremy Oliver on the Salad Duo podcast, and he said that to make one glass of wine, 125 ml, it takes 110 litres of water just to make that one glass. Can that be right? It seems crazy, especially seeing as the importance of sustainability. Doesn't sound right. What do you think?
That's end to end. So that's from the grape in the winery. In the winery, it takes us about between 2, if you're really good, to 4 litres of water to make a bottle of wine.
Mm.
A litre of wine, sorry.
Yeah. So when you say that, you don't mean it's like, so you mean things like cleaning and, yeah.
Cleaning. Yeah, that's all about cleaning.
Yeah.
Every time you use a press, you've got to clean it out with water. Every time you take a wine out of tank, you have to clean out the tank with 3 washes of water. So there's a caustic wash, an acid wash, and a water rinse. And you've rinsed it out to get the solids out as well. In the vineyard, now I would say that's average because some cooler regions aren't going to use as much water as warmer regions. So it's possibly talking warmer regions. Yes, it's a lot. And it plays into... the thing that I said last week, why is Australia one of the driest land or the driest continent in the world producing water-heavy crops?
That's so dumb.
That said, we are the greatest proponents. We have the most – we use less water per ton of grapes than anywhere else in the world. We are the most conservative with water. We have – dam liners. We have like directed irrigation. We don't use flood irrigation. We have minimal irrigation. We have deficit irrigation. We have introduced, we've grown our vines to live with no water.
Yeah.
The least amount of water possible.
And you know what? Like, even like I can say, because I work for a big company, like, there is a whole team focused on sustainability, and I sit in these meetings and the topic of water comes up all the time, and there is the most ambitious targets to get this water down. It's like we spend so much time and money being like, how can we reduce water? And there's some cool stuff. Like there's one thing that's like it blows air in to clean instead of, I think, washing old bottles or something. They can clean with air now instead of water.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely a focus, and I can see why that figure is alarming for you. But yeah, know that it is a focus for the industry.
I think one avocado takes 600 litres.
Yeah.
So a bit of perspective.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's definitely something we're looking at.
Yeah. No, we are aware of it, but I will champion our country.
Yes.
We are the, while it does sound a lot, we are the, Jeremy's not giving you the full story, which is a bit unfair because we yeah. don't use as much as other places in the world.
Yeah.
So, and we're trying to use less and less and less. The people in the Riverland, in the irrigation areas, know how much water is worth.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah.
So they're not going to waste it. It's like spraying on grapes. No one's going to spray unless they absolutely bloody have to.
Yeah, for sure.
We just don't do it to poison you all. We don't do it to poison you all at all, at all.
All right. Well, that is it for this week. We'll be back with you next week. Not sure what with yet, but we have compiled all of your, we asked on Instagram what you want to hear from us this year, and we've compiled all of them. So we'll be diving into that and we'll come out with something good that's been requested for the next couple of weeks. Until
then.
Billy's
got a request. I can hear it.
Can you hear it?
She's well, welcome to the podcast.
You're welcome to the podcast, Billy.
I'm sure she won't behave this well with everything, oh my God, but my God, she's just like really angel she's child today.
Really good baby. Keep this up.
Yeah.
But she's we'll be like back with you.
She must be Tom at the moment. She's in a Tom arc. Very gentle, quiet man, our Tom.
I hope she gets a lot of Tom. I hope she gets Tom anxiety levels, not mine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, my darlings.
Anyway, we will see you next week. Until then, enjoy your next glass of wine.
And drink well.